Hey, Shepherd family, welcome to Digital Worship. Once again, I'm Pastor John Corollis, one of our associate pastors here at Shepherd. It's been 8 weeks since I've been on Digital Worship as we've been walking through our Cast of Characters series. We took a look at Isaiah. We listened to Pastor Allen teach us about the priest Zadok and even spent some time hearing some of Pastor Scott's in-person messages and one of his own specially filmed messages about King David and what it means that God uses characters not only in the Bible but other people in our own lives to speak and inform our spiritual identity as his children. Now we find ourselves just a week away from Easter here on Palm Sunday. We'll be reading through a section of scripture that describes what Jesus' triumphal entry was like and then how some people responded to his great public exposure and what it means that he was drawing people into a relationship with him. After reading through that story and talking a little bit about how those pieces fit together, we'll be challenged to consider what it means that maybe we are invited to engage with Jesus in a new way, in a special way, as we walk with him through life, as he leads us to a closer relationship with our Creator, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's listen into John chapter 12 as we hear the story of Palm Sunday together. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hail to the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, 'Father, save me from this hour?' But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name." Then a voice spoke from heaven, saying, "I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again." When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus told them, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." I know that was kind of a long reading, but each piece is important for us to grasp what's really going on here in this Palm Sunday story. Jesus enters Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, on the foal of a colt. On this donkey, he rides into Jerusalem, and people are praising his arrival. They are waving palm branches. They're celebrating that Jesus has come into Jerusalem. That is the part of the story I think most of us are familiar with. We may even remember that it's on the Passover celebration, the festival of the Passover, that this event takes place. And for that reason, Jerusalem was full of people from all over the different parts of the world. They had come to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. But there's a couple of other small pieces in this story that maybe are a little harder for us to grasp. Maybe we're familiar with another gospel account of this day. But here in John chapter 12, there's some specific details that help us understand who Jesus is and what his mission was all about. We get to that part in the story where it says some Greeks came to Philip and asked him, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." We learn a little bit later that these Greeks had heard about the miracle Jesus had performed relatively recently, calling Lazarus back to life out of the tomb in that nearby area. See, Jesus had spoken life into the dead body of his friend. Lazarus brought him back to life. He exited the tomb, and there was a resurrection witnessed in that day. Before Jesus' death and resurrection, this was another person he had brought back to life. Obviously, that's a pretty remarkable event, pretty miraculous happening. And it spread across that whole area. People from outside of Bethsaida in Galilee heard about this miracle that had taken place. Maybe some of them had even seen Lazarus, and they knew that Jesus was the one that made that happen. If you remember that story from another part of the Gospel of John, you remember that the church leaders were nervous about people finding out about Jesus' great power. They knew that he was capturing a crowd and followers were beginning to go after him. And they were worried that they would lose the authority that they had and the agreement that existed between the church leaders and the Roman rulers at the time. And so when we come across this seemingly random event in the middle of this story in John chapter 12, some Greeks were there from out of town asking to see Jesus. That's why. They had heard about his miracles. They had heard about some of his amazing teachings. And now they had seen him make his way into Jerusalem on that special Sunday. And they wanted to meet this man. They wanted to know what his message was all about, who he was here for, what it meant that he was the Messiah. Now, as we understand this story and this text, the Greeks were celebrating the Passover. They had some affinity or understanding, maybe connection into the Jewish tradition, if they weren't born of Jewish families themselves. But they were there to honor God. They were there to follow the commands he gave his people to celebrate the Passover, to remember the provision God had given his people thousands of years before, rescuing them from slavery in Egypt and providing protection for them through the wilderness and establishing them in the promised land. They were there to celebrate the Passover, and Jesus came to fulfill what the Passover was all about. So we hear his response to Philip and the other disciple when they asked Jesus about the Greeks meeting him. And Jesus gives this answer that doesn't seem to make sense immediately. He's like, well, this is the reason I came. If a kernel of wheat does not fall to the ground and die, it does not produce more life. What Jesus is saying is there is something about giving up control in this life, giving up his own life, in fact, giving himself over to death so that through his death, many more lives might be established. Many more lives might be saved because of his great redeeming work. And he goes on to say that same principle applies for his followers. If we're not willing to give up the control we have over our lives, if we're not willing to give up our lives on account of the gospel, on account of God's plan for us, then the effectiveness of our witness is diminished. But when we serve Jesus, when we follow his example, when we give up our lives, then the people that witness that taking place around us, they are welcomed and invited into a relationship with God. We hear the voice from heaven in the story, speak aloud, now is the time of glory. And Jesus says, this is for you, not for me. This is for you to understand. You see, the Son of Man came that he might be lifted up and draw all people to himself. Now, you and I, when we hear Jesus' phrase, be lifted up and draw all people to himself, we kind of hear this symbolic phrase being told. Well, of course, Jesus ascended into heaven. He reigns and rules over all things. He is elevated above the rest of any of creation. He's got authority over heaven and earth. But Jesus was using a phrase that made immediate sense to the people that heard him. Because at that time, the phrase to be lifted up was synonymous with crucifixion. Jesus was describing the way he was going to die. If anything, they would have been confused as to why he was mentioning crucifixion. But you and I know in looking back that through Jesus' death on the cross, he invites and wins the possibility for a relationship for all people to know God. We exist in our brokenness, in our sin, in our separation from him. We're consumed with our selfishness, with our competitiveness, with our materialism. But Jesus' death pays the price for all of that. He gets rid of the separation between God and creation. And he says, come and enjoy a relationship with God. I've paid the price of your sin. I've paid the price of your separation. I've crossed the gap into your lives by becoming a man. And even by dying on the cross, you now have the opportunity to know God in a new way. To know God not as a judge threatening condemnation, but a loving Father promising provision and fulfillment. So that leaves us, I think, with a question on our hands. Where do you find yourself in relation to this story? How do you hear this triumphal entry of Jesus, these strangers wanting to be welcomed into a relationship to meet Jesus, and his response that this was the very reason he came, that through his death on a cross, he might make that possible, not only for the Greeks celebrating the Passover at the time of Jesus to meet him, but for people like you and me, outsiders with no connection to first century Judaism, people who have only heard about the message, That is the reason Jesus came as well. His crucifixion won for us connection to him once again. And sometimes we hear this story about Jesus and we think, you know what? God is just waiting for me to kind of catch up with him, to meet his standards, to live a life that's worthy of connection with him. But I would encourage you not to hear God saying, catch up with me. He's not waiting for you to live the right life or to solidify your behaviors and your own thinking. Instead, it's Jesus simply inviting you to come along. He has won for you a place next to him in life. He has stepped into your life and said, I am willing to walk with you through the good days and the hard days. I am here to work on your soul, to work on your mind, to work on your heart. You are my precious sibling. You are a precious child of the Father. And because of Jesus' own being lifted up, his own crucifixion, and then, of course, as we know, 3 days later, his victorious resurrection, he wins for us a place at Father's side. A place in the house and family of God, our Father, our Creator. And the Holy Spirit works faith and belief in our hearts that we might also invite others to experience this great relationship with Jesus. Palm Sunday is a special day. It's the beginning of Holy Week. It's the beginning of that week where we remember all of the darkest, hardest, but also most beautiful and victorious moments of Jesus' life, his passion, his suffering, his resurrection. This Holy Week, I encourage you to experience it in a new way. Maybe worship in a setting that you haven't worshiped in before, checking out a Holy Thursday, a Maundy Thursday service, or celebrating Good Friday in a special service like that. And of course, I especially invite you to come into a Easter morning celebration at a church close to you. If you're here in Phoenix and Scottsdale, please join us on Easter morning. If you're not located right here, find a church close to you that's celebrating Easter on Sunday morning. And embrace the great promise of Jesus' salvation, won for you and me on the cross, that we might be with those heavenly worshipers as we celebrate his heavenly arrival and we are brought into the heavenly kingdom, singing the praises of our Savior, singing the praises of our Messiah, of our King, Jesus Christ. Have a great Holy Week. Thanks for joining us for Palm Sunday Digital Worship. And I hope that you're able to celebrate Easter in a meaningful way with those that you love. Have a great week.